Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage knows that your home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Sage Rosenfels coming up in 40 minutes. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Coming up at 1 o'clock. 10 Pacific. Rob Manfred actually does have one good idea. One good idea. He actually has one. And I'm going to bring it to you at 1 o'clock. I promise you. I got to get to Billy first. Billy!
Hello, Ken.
How's Valentine's Day weekend last weekend, bud?
I think we went over this last week.
Well, yeah, but you still had Saturday. Like, you still had Saturday night. In the words of the Bay City Rollers, man. I mean, you know, Saturday night.
Yes, Saturday night. But I spent it all at the casino. Oh, wait a minute. No, the casino.
That's right,
Friday.
You did. Yeah, but you spent all your money on Friday and you couldn't go out on Saturday.
That's correct.
Tell me you haven't been back to the casino since.
I actually went
yesterday.
Oh
my god. Oh my god. Hickey, do we have to talk to Billy?
I think we may have to take the 1 o'clock hour and just have a sit
Billy,
down.
Billy, 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 how much did you lose yesterday?
It actually wasn't bad. Like, you know,
it actually wasn't bad. Are you listening to yourself?
I have a terrible, terrible problem.
What did you lose? Are you sick? You might. Billy, how much did you lose yesterday?
Yesterday was only like a couple hundred.
Oh my god. Oh, my God. Why are you doing this? No, Billy.
You know what? To be fair, Ken, I think it's over.
Oh, my God. So how much have you lost now in the last 2 weeks? Do you want to tell America?
I don't think America needs to know.
This could be... Billy, you could be spending this on dates.
Well, I mean, how am I going to spend it on dates if no one responds on the dating apps, Ken? Where am I going to meet somebody?
Oh, Billy, come on, Billy. No, you got to have hope. Don't be like that now. Don't be like that.
Listen, let me tell you something, okay? These women on these dating sites, all they want is to have their ego stroked, okay? They want multiple men to message them.
Yeah,
they want to view their profile, and they want to not respond because it makes them feel good. Well, you know what?
What, Billy?
I can't say it.
What? Well, I was kind of wanted to goad you into it, but I don't know if I really want you to.
Well, then we have to hit the dump button, and I can't deal with that right now.
Don't be hitting dump button. Don't be saying things we need to hit dump buttons for, but you can't go take your frustrations in your dating life out on the poker table. That's not going to work, Billy. You can't do that.
Well, to be fair, it was actually craps last night.
It was craps? Still wasn't good. I feel like Joe Pesci in Casino right now. I'm not giving you money. Damn it, Billy. Damn it!
I suck.
Oh, you're a great guy, Billy. You're great. But you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, brother. You can't be doing that, okay?
You're right, Ken. You're absolutely right.
For entertainment purposes only. Like, hey, listen, we're in sports talk radio. A lot of guys, and what we do, if you pull back the curtains, a lot of them like to gamble, okay? It's just what they like to do. I never have had a bone for it. I've never really been worked into it to do it in the past. Yeah, you know, you go to an Elks or an Eagles or one of the social clubs and Orioles, and you get one of the for entertainment purposes only. One of the forecasts. Maybe you do. Maybe you put five on the parlay here and there. Okay, that's not a big deal, Billy. But going and playing craps yesterday, and then last week you've lost what, like 1,300 altogether?
I mean, we're probably looking at north of that, Ken.
Oh my God, no, Billy, no, Billy, you got to stop. I'm serious. On the air right now, in front of America, you have to stop.
So you want me to just declare that I'm going to stop?
You need to declare to the country and to everybody. I'm actually serious about this. You can't be losing. You can't be losing your whole ass like you're looking like you're losing your ass. The house always wins, Billy. That's why it's the house. If it wasn't the house, it would just be the driveway. No one loses in their driveway. They lose the house. You always lose to the house. The house always wins.
That's why it's called gambling, I guess.
Oh, my God, Bill. Oh, my God.
See, like, the thing is, though, Ken, is that I have hobbies. I have interests. But it only takes you so far. So it's like, what else am I going to do?
Do you guys have anything? Do you guys have an alternative magazine in New York?
I don't. I'm not 100% sure where you're coming from on
that. We have a wonderful alternative magazine, a wonderful alt-weekly here in Cleveland called Cleveland Scene. And it was always one of the fun things to do when I was a younger guy. And I never called. Can't say that for everybody I know. But you would see some of the ads in the back pages. I'm just saying, you know, there's so many things you could get into other than throwing your money away, Billy.
I know. But you know what, Ken? I mean,
you live in New York City. You're telling me you can't give somebody $250 to stomp your grapes instead of this?
That's certainly one way to go.
That's a much better way to go. What you're telling me is a much better way to go. I'm fearful right now, Billy. I really am. It's everything to me is entertainment. Everything is sort of for something to bring on the show. But if you're losing north of 1,200 right now or 1,400 or whatever it is, Billy, son, and you're not even that much younger than me.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I sometimes I just get really bored, Ken.
Do you have Netflix?
I do have Netflix.
Not for long because you ain't going to be able to pay it. But still, you got Netflix. There's plenty of documentaries on Netflix.
I could just, you know what I should really do? I should just get involved in a video game.
That's, esports is another great thing you can get involved in other than this, Billy.
Like, I'm a big fan of NBA 2K, but I'm not very
good
at that game.
Yes, no, you can get better. There's guys who make tons, that ninja guy makes like $50,000 every 10 seconds. Go be like that guy. Then you can gamble, okay?
I don't know
much about this ninja fella. I sound as old as hell saying this ninja fella, but go be more like him. Go spray paint your hair pink or purple or whatever color it is this week, and go be like that guy. Because
I don't have hair.
Oh, that's right. Well, spray paint your head that way.
Okay, fair enough.
Good God, Billy.
You know, Ken, I'm just going to take this opportunity to apologize to just you.
You should. I am gobsmacked. Have you ever seen a plague doctor mask?
I can't say I have, no.
Go look up plague doctor mask. That's something you could get involved in. If you've ever seen Eyes Wide Shut, that's still a much more worthwhile hobby than what you're doing right now. I'm just giving you options.
I've seen some of that movie, and very, very disturbing.
But that's still a much more worthwhile hobby. Not the one part of it, but that's a much more worthwhile hobby.
I mean, I play guitar a little bit.
Guitar is another one. You have an open mic. You live in New York. I'm sure there's an open mic around somewhere.
I'm not that good enough for that.
No, that's what you do. You go and you try it, and then you get better by doing that. Stand-up comedy. You could always do that. You could talk about your gambling there. You could. I would not suggest a whole lot of other things. Stamp collecting is pretty good for you, Billy. Maybe that's okay.
You know what? I decided. I think I'm just going to spend my time playing NBA 2K and guitar.
Okay. That's okay, Billy. You're so down on yourself.
No, it's not that I'm down on myself. It's just that I'm realistic.
I don't know. You're bald with a beard. You know how many women are into guys who are bald with beards?
I can't say I have a beard right now. I got like stubble going on.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry about that, Billy. All right. Well, I hope you do better.
All right. I'll make the declaration right now that in 1 week from today, I will come on the air and I will tell you, Ken Carman, that I have not gambled.
Okay. Yeah, but just because you tell me doesn't mean you didn't.
No, I'll be truthful about it.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. I hope so. 855-212-4CBS. I mean, I can't believe I thought we were just going to say, "Hey, Billy, you do anything on Valentine's Day?" And all of a sudden, it becomes you talking about this. I'm concerned for you, son. Sage Rosenfels in just over 20 minutes. For Tom, I think this is a big difference for him between being a legend and being a desperate guy hanging on for one more. I got into an argument about this with Hickey just the other day. I don't know if I'm going to have that much vim and vigor over it because what he said was making me upset. For Tom Brady, I look at Tom Brady with a reverence. I look at Tom Brady with a different level. And I see him as a walking legend. And I the more I think about it, you know, it's just, don't you want to protect that legacy? Because I know no one's going to remember. People don't remember Dan Marino's last game. It was abysmal. People don't really remember it, though. People don't remember Johnny Unitas with the Rams. They don't remember, or with the Chargers. They don't remember Joe Namath with the Rams. I don't want to make that big of a deal about it. We do try to remember Joe Montana with the Chiefs. Hey, the Chiefs were pretty good during that time. So you can have something there. But the more I think about this, the more I get nervous about it. Bill is still at his zenith. Bill can take a lot of these other quarterbacks. And when I hear about Andy Dalton being a possibility, boy, that's a good possibility. They could trade for that guy. If I hear about Derek Carr being a possibility, smart quarterback, still has some talent. I know it's been a little bit of a rough go recently, but if he were to be in a Bill Belichick system, I think he'd be fantastic at it. Those two quarterbacks are a very scary scenario for the other teams with Bill Belichick, whose mind is still there because he doesn't have to worry about doing anything physical. For Tom Brady, it's the complete opposite end. I brought this up before. If Billy had a relationship and he was thinking about getting out of it, I would tell him to be careful. You have to think about, can you see yourself being fine with the other person being with somebody else? That's actually what I was trying to get into with Billy, and then he scared the hell out of me because he basically ended up like the degenerate in the casino movie. It's a scary scenario. But from what I look at with Tom Brady, if you're going to be getting rid of this relationship, and there's people, well, I think the Las Vegas Raiders make sense. I think the Los Angeles Chargers make sense. I don't know how anybody can see that that makes sense over Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick. Well, Ken, look at the rosters. Yeah, go ahead and look at the rosters. I'll take McDaniels and Belichick and nobody else to build a new roster than what I will with Mark Davis and John Gruden, who's basically a bunch of cartoon characters and a father and son duo running the Las Vegas Raiders. Sorry, Raider fan. You're still the Raiders until further notice. As long as that guy has that hair, you can live in Vegas, you can live in Oakland, you can play in Pluto. Doesn't matter. I'm still going to take you as a secondary team until you change it and prove it otherwise. Until Derek Carr's brother stops trying to trash talk people around the league and actually goes out and does what they're supposed to do, I'm still going to go after you. Is that what Tom Brady really wants? Now I am getting upset about it. Is that what you really want? And I would say this to my buddy Billy, or to Hickey, who does have a girlfriend, if he were thinking about getting out of that relationship. Can you think of that significant other with somebody else? Can you stand that? If you can't, then you need to think twice about this. And I have to ask that of Tom. Because I see Bill Belichick with Andy Dalton, and I can see Bill Belichick with even Jarrett Stidham. I can see Bill Belichick with Derek Carr. And I think that those three things could possibly work. The two over the one, certainly, because they're veterans. I see those things working. With Tom, I just gave you the Raiders. You really want to have to carry around what looks like a bloated corpse as an owner for the next, what, 2 years? And if you don't make the playoffs, then all of a sudden you get old and decrepit real quick. Well, Ken, what about the Chargers, Los Angeles? Great. The Clippers of the NFL. Who thought that they were going to walk into the playoffs last year with Phillip Rivers and then embarrass themselves in the AFC West. And if we really want to start about that ownership group, I don't know if I'll have enough time left in the show. The ball is definitely in Tom Brady's court. He can do what he wants. For the first time, he's entitled to significant money on a free agent market, and he can test free agency. But you know what? If you just go back to New England and say you don't even make the playoffs next year, say the concerns are really there. You don't make the playoffs. And maybe you just can't load up the way you did before. People accused you of doing it this year. You can't load up the way you used to before. You can't play the way you used to before. You're still a proud legend who went down with his organization. If you go to Las Vegas or you go to L.A. and you suck up the room with either one of those two teams, and you very well could, and at 43 years old, the odds are actually against you now. If you suck up the room with one of those guys, you won't be remembered for your time there. We won't remember you. We don't remember Jerry Rice for his time with the Denver Broncos. And just like I said, we don't remember Joe Namath with the Rams or Johnny Unitas with the Chargers. We don't remember that. We remember them and their greatness. But for that moment, and for a proud legend like Tom Brady is, for that moment, it sure is going to suck. At 43, going on 44, you're going to hold on for another year then? To go down with that, instead of raising them up and bringing them to your level. Because I don't know. I have to admit, I love Tom Brady. I have to admit, I don't know if you can do that anymore. I think Josh McDaniels did a hell of a job coaching last year. I thought they did some things that they don't really usually do in New England to bring in some talent there around him. Yeah, there's some things that are rotten there on that roster. It's been some time since they've had some good, strong, high draft picks. I get that. But I'd still rather take that culture, that coaching staff, that way of thinking, than anything connected to the Raiders or the Chargers. You want to talk Cowboys? You want to do that? Please. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, five burning questions. We'll try to get to it. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
20 minutes away, Sage Rosenfels will join us. We'll talk CBA with him. 855-212-4227. Lamar Jackson's so good, he makes some people silly. I said this about Sean McVay last year. In the NFL, they like to do the whole follow the leader routine, so they'll do the blueprints and they'll copy off each other. Sean McVay, 30 years old, becomes a head coach, has some success at the very beginning of it, has a lot of success at the very beginning of it, for crying out loud. Then, hey, we got to find our young guy. We have to find a really good offensive guy, put everything offensive on him, put a young quarterback around him, and we'll see how that one works. Let's take a guy out of nowhere and do it, because owners want to do that. They want their own. The players are toys. The coaches are toys. They want to be winners. They want to have the grandeur of the winning, and they want to have the championship and the ring. This is why they bought the franchise in the first place. They want these things. So to them, hey, Sean McVay, I want to get my own Sean McVay. I want to get my own big-time general manager. I want to get my own head coach, my own quarterback. I want that guy. Lamar Jackson is doing the same thing to the rest of the NFL. I don't know what the hell's going to go on with the New Orleans Saints. But I'm starting to see the same thing, and I'm already getting a little bit tired of it. I came to an epiphany 3, 4, 5 months ago now about Lamar Jackson. I was tired of waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was tired of hoping that the other shoe would drop. I just had to recognize great talent. And I don't know how great that's going to be 8 years from now. I don't know how great it's going to be a decade from now. I don't know how long it lasts. But I know that right now, Lamar Jackson has taken the NFL and he's turned it on its ear. Yet, there's plenty of people who they do recognize how great and how talented it is, how much of a game changer Lamar Jackson himself is, but there's also plenty of people who want to look at Lamar Jackson and say, I can do that with somebody else. I can do that with my own quarterback. We can get Lamar Jackson and his footwork and his speed, and he's worked on his accuracy through a much better ball in 2019. Seriously, it was amazing. The team didn't end the way they wanted to, obviously, but he was a hell of a quarterback in 2019. And I think that most common sense and most fans should tell you that, boy, this is something unlike we've seen in quite a while. This guy's really tough to bring to justice, and I don't know if we're going to be able to find a guy like this. You're going to have to find ways to stop this guy, and if you can stop him, then maybe it'll be easier for you. But I'm hearing a notion that is starting to concern me. And it does give respect to Lamar Jackson. I don't want to say it's disrespectful, but it is still a crazy, silly notion that something that talented, something that good, naturally gifted, can be emulated in some way. I'm concerned about it. And what standard of greatness is, and why it is meant to be respectful towards Lamar Jackson, or Lamar Jackson should take it as a nod of respect, is that when players are so good or when teams are so good, they'll make other franchises look foolish. They'll freak other teams into making rash decisions. Golden State did that with the entire Western Conference for a period of 5 years. The Cavaliers did that in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference. The Cavaliers did it to themselves, for crying out loud. We see that in the NBA. Baseball, it's not nearly as prevalent, even though they want to go out and get the big ones, but you really don't find that clear and utter domination the way we thought we were with the Chicago Cubs in 2016. There's no domination there. The NFL, there's still that parity. Feels that way, even though we've seen the Patriots for a long time and people have tried to emulate the Patriots for a long time. But in New Orleans, what I'm hearing about the conversation of, well, Drew Brees could have one more year. And Hickey, I don't know if we just have it yet. I'm not sure yet. Whisper in my ear when we do. When I hear this conversation about the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and his future and the possibility of their future quarterback, it makes me nervous that a good organization is putting way too much stock into a crazy theory. Hit it.
As I've been saying all week since I wrote this, you know, it doesn't really matter what I think, what you think, what anybody thinks. The fact is that one of the best guys, you know, in the last 20 years to choreograph and to coach and to call offensive football, Sean Payton, is convinced that he has a guy who has the skill level of a Steve Young on his team, and that's Taysom Hill. It's just that nobody knows it yet. He hasn't done it yet. Now, that's a pretty lofty comparison, but Payton has made it to many people. And so he's going to get a chance, Damon, unless some weird thing befalls him between now and opening day 2021. Right now, the Saints are operating under the assumption that Drew Brees plays in 2020, and then he retires, probably takes a job in TV, and then after that, it's going to be Taysom Hill's team. He'll at least get the first shot at it.
Audio courtesy of CBS Sports Radio. I hope that's a sell job by Sean Payton. Comparing him to Steve Young, we like to make nice comparisons all the time. I don't have a problem with Sean Payton saying that. But you did have your shot earlier last year to put Taysom Hill in as your quarterback. You used Teddy Bridgewater, and Teddy Bridgewater was great. You chose Teddy Bridgewater, though. Taysom Hill, people think Taysom Hill's 22 years old. Taysom Hill's 30. If it goes into 2021, Taysom Hill will be 31? You had your opportunity to change that over. I still want to believe that Sean Payton's maybe trying to do a bit of a sell job there. Maybe trying to convince people something he doesn't have. Why? I'm not too terribly sure. I'm sure with more thought I can put more into it and maybe figure out why. 30 years old, we're going to do this? Tell me Lamar Jackson has nothing to do with that. A guy who can run, a guy who can throw, make people miss, is a hell of an offensive weapon. Now all of a sudden we're trying to find our own. Taysom Hill's the answer. Okay. I hope and I would think that Sean Payton's been in the league long enough, this might be a sell job. Either that or, yeah, you're starting to get long in the tooth, and maybe you're trying to look for answers in the wrong places with 31-year-old mobile quarterbacks. Up next, Sage Rosenfels. We talk about the CBA with him. Should these players sign it next week? We'll talk with him. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, it's the latest sports update with the always wonderful Greg Caserta.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, 855-212-4227. That's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Guess what? It's sponsored by Geico. That's right, hotshot. Whether you own or rent Geico, they make it easy to bundle home and auto insurance together. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com today. It's easy. Don't go getting swindled like me. My insurance agent lives in Youngstown, Ohio. He's 33 years old. He has an 18-year-old girlfriend. And he uses my premiums that I'm paying to probably take her out to Chuck E. Cheese. And the music abruptly stops with that. Let's go to the hotline. We welcome in Sage Rosenfels. Sage, how you doing?
That might be the most unusual intro into a segment that I've ever had.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be if your insurance agent wasn't putting the boots to you the way they're putting the boots to me. That's why people need to go out and get Geico, because I can't get out of it because the guy's a family friend.
Sounds good. Well, maybe our NFL PA, we have some Geico insurance to try to get this collective bargaining situation figured out.
You know, it's always good when the guest is the one who makes the transition instead of the host. That's fantastic. All right, Sage, let me get into it with you. From what you've studied, from what you've talked about, you're a 12-year vet. You know how these things go. Is this a good deal for the players?
You know, I don't think anyone actually knows this answer until one. Usually it's like a couple of years later. A lot of times agents will sort of tell you like, this was a good or bad deal for the players, because they're the ones actually negotiating these contracts and understanding what they negotiated, you know, this year compared to 3 or 4 years ago. So they it's one of those things you don't really know the answer until a couple of years later. It's sort of like a drafting a quarterback in the first round or something. You don't really know that answer right off the bat. And I think number two is no one actually knows all the details in this thing. And that's where, as a former player, obviously all these current players, you have to rely on the leadership of the NFL Players Association, guys like Eric Winston, who I did play with Eric for 3 years in Houston. And I think a lot of players really trust him and respect him. And of course, there's a lot of lawyers and a lot of non-players involved in this thing, you know, as well too. So, what I find interesting is that the owners seem to sort of have a, you know, take this deal now, you're not going to get a better one later situation, when the players, to me, that's always when you're in negotiations, always of like, they want to get this deal done now. Maybe we should wait a while, because there's this whole thing with the TV contract coming up, I believe in the next year, which of course the owners want to go to, you know, the big networks and say, hey, we've got a 10-year deal with the players, so you know, you should up us to, you know, this amount of money, blah, blah, blah. But if they don't have that deal, that hurts their ability to negotiate as well. So if I'm the players, I think you should have waited out and try to get the things that you, you know, you feel like that the players deserve. You know, the players are the ones that are taking the physical risk in playing this sport. And of course, the owners, they have done extremely well. I mean, Jerry Jones bought that franchise, the Dallas Cowboys, in the early 90s for under $100 million. I think it was like $70 million, and now it's worth, $4 or $5 billion. So believe me, the owners have done extremely well over the course of the last 20 or 30 years.
The great Sage Rosenfels joining us on the show. QB Collective Score, North 670, the score all over the place. 12-year NFL vet. Follow him on Twitter at Sage Rosenfels 18. You mentioned Eric Winston. He's a very smart guy, very savvy about these things. And you kind of answered the next question I was going to have, because it always seems to be two or a year and a half down the line after these CBAs, all of a sudden there's a problem that's raised. Last one was the big-time marijuana issue, a couple of other things. When I look over this stuff, and still some of it is legalese that I don't even know, I'm not going to pretend like I do. The 17th game thing, though, Sage, the payment on that seems to be fishy. Tom Pelissero said, well, no, this is only on guys who were paid for a 16-game schedule. And I'm thinking, Sage, and maybe you disagree. I'm going, no, it doesn't matter. You don't work a full day and get half the pay in some of these cases. It should just still be a whole another game check. And you got the money. If you want 17 games, you should pay what's commensurate with every other game.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to do it that way, other than trying to skim some money. I mean, you think you just sort of prorate it. What they call a 17-week schedule, now you just make an 18th week. And I don't know if they're going to do two bye weeks now or how they would do that. But listen, if you're a rookie and you're making $500,000, you get paid $250 for the 17th game. This is the greatest deal ever. But if you're a guy making, pretty much any starting quarterback or star player making, $10 to $30 million, that's a small amount of money for those guys to play another week. So you would think they just come to the sort of the easy idea of just sort of prorating it based off of what you were making, throughout the rest of the season. So the 17th game, I don't even know if I love the fact that the NFL is 32 teams. There are 8 divisions of 4. There are 16 games. It's just sort of like the numbers seem to be perfect. We sort of know the schedule for the most part a lot of times, like looking forward for years on down the road many times, because there's just sort of this perfect number here of 32 teams and 16 games and so on and so on. You add that 17th game, I don't know where that extra game comes into play. You know, it's like adding a 33rd NFL franchise. Like, how does that work out? Some division would have to have five. So, obviously, you know, more revenue, the better. I got to think the players would love to have an extra bye week if you're going to go a 17th week. You'd also, another thing to add to this that never has made any sense to me is that the whole 46 guys get to dress on game day thing. It sounds like they're going to move that up to 48, but, like, I don't understand why they just don't have all the guys, all
Thank
the
you.
Players
Thank
be able
you.
To dress. Like, but this makes no sense to me.
They're making a 46-man roster. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, why am I getting a play check and I can't even dress for the game? Like, that's a practice squad player, right? I don't get why they have that rule in general. And the more guys you can have more – I mean, your paycheck's the same whether you don't dress or whether you dress if you're on the active roster. I just don't see why having fewer players play in the game is better for, let's just say, you know, player safety. You know, you could have those guys who are just, you know, in their street clothes on the sideline. They could be taking some of those reps off of the guys that are, you know, out there playing, and you could have an extra offensive lineman. You could have some guys on special teams. You could have, you know, just more guys in the rotation. That, to me, has never made any sense, and I've never had one person say to me, yeah, this is the reason they do that. You know, of course, there's always injuries and things like that, but, hey, it's a football team. It's a football club. Like, you're going to have injured guys, but, you know, if you're getting paid a salary, I don't know why everybody doesn't dress for the games.
Sage Rosenfeld's with us on the show. Sage, I'm willing to admit, I know that adding an extra team to the postseason cheapens the postseason. I just don't think I care. I still think I want to watch another week of playoff football.
Well, it's not going to add any more weeks of football.
Well,
it's
another game of playoff football. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah,
here's what I think about that, and I think the way the NFL, the way the playoffs are right now are great. I like that there's a one and a two seed that both get byes. I mean, that bye is huge, and I understand that the NFL would love to have the one, you know, all the ones, you know, make it all the way through and have two ones in the Super Bowl. That bye is a big advantage as far as getting to the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, sometimes there's conferences where there's just a dominant team. You know, those old Patriots teams that are winning 14, 15 games, and, you know, you're pretty much, you know, you'd have no chance of getting that bye. I like the fact that another team, a two seed, also gets that bye. I get it. You know, there'll be two more playoff games, and playoff games are probably, you know, twice as valuable as a regular season game as far as the money is concerned. Of course, it always comes down to the money. But again, I of all the things that they're looking to change, I sort of like the playoff situation as it is right now, and I would think that they shouldn't change that. But, you know, if they can see enough money in the players, of course, you're going to get paid more money. I guess then it makes sense. But, you know, as we all know, that those playoff checks, the players, are not very big. They're much smaller. I mean, yeah. $250,000 is a huge number compared to those playoff checks, which are usually $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 bucks, and so. You know, is that worth it for the players when the owners get to make all that money? I'm not sure.
XFL, yes or no?
Oh, I think it's great. I think XFL is great. Like, I've watched some XFL games. Sometimes it's a quarter. I think I watched maybe one full game. But, you know, listen, people love the sport of football. High school football, college football, pro football. You know, a lot of people don't like watching the NBA or college basketball. Of course, I do like watching in particular NBA in the playoffs. And I really do like college basketball this time of year as we get to the tournaments and stuff. But some people just love football, and they'll watch any, you know, sort of football. And I think it's a play there. You know, there's this sort of gap between college and pros. And I think this can fill that gap. There's obviously a big need for some development for quarterbacks. Because, you know, there's only one quarterback that can play in these NFL games, and so there's always this lack of quarterback development. People always complain about, you know, why quarterbacks aren't good enough, and there's not 32 starters, not enough backups that are really, really good. It's also a great spot for offensive linemen to learn. People don't realize that college football has a vast array of coaching. You have coaches that are basically NFL coaches, and you have coaches that aren't very far removed from basic coaching to high school football. Well, those players that come from that coaching try to make it to the NFL, and a lot of times they're a couple years behind these other players that maybe went to an Ohio State or a Clemson or an Alabama that had more, you know, pro style coaching. And so that development is really important. So I see it as a very much a development league. I don't know about the timing right now and all those things, but I think the XFL is here to stay. They got to figure out a way to make money. I love the games, and I love them in the soccer stadiums. I think watching these games in soccer stadiums are more 20 to 25,000. I think that makes it a lot better. I don't like watching, know, 10,000 people in MetLife Stadium in New York when it's 80,000 seat stadium.
I agree.
So I hope they make enough money that they you know, stay. And, you know, listen, Vince McMahon, whether you like WWE and all that stuff or not, I'm not a big fan of it, but I do know it makes a lot of money, and he's made a lot of money. And that guy knows how to make money, and he understands TV and he understands fans. And so I got to think a second time around, he'll find a way to make this thing work.
I got like 2 minutes. I have to ask you this question. Sage Rosenfeld's with us, 12-year NFL veteran quarterback. If you were Joe Burrow, would you have second thoughts about the Cincinnati Bengals?
1,000%. Absolutely. Yeah.
Would you then take the next step to either hold him over a barrel and get traded out of that situation, or it's like, listen, if I'm coming there, I'm running the show. What would you do?
Well, you know, here's what's really interesting is that, you know, this year there's definitely an alternative. You know, if people like, I really like Tua. I think Tua is actually the better quarterback of the two, but he gets injured a lot, so that's sort of the concern there. So, you know, the Cincinnati does have a second option, which sort of hurts, you know, Joe Burrow's leverage a little bit. But, you know, listen, I backed up Eli in 2010, and he and I talked a couple times about that whole situation in San Diego. And I think it was sort of known that the San Diego Chargers at the time were sort of not a first-class organization. They didn't really do everything it took to win football games, to win championships. They didn't spend, you know, money on scouting and you know, coaches' salaries. And when there was free agents, they weren't one of those aggressive teams. The New York Giants were one of those traditional teams who had been there, done it so many times. They were a sort of first-class, world-class organization. Cincinnati might be the worst in the NFL as far as spending money and doing whatever it takes to win football games. And, you know, if you – this is the only time, you know, Joe Burrow sort of has a little bit of leverage is to basically say, I don't want to go to, you know, to one of these places. And it worked out well for Eli. Phillip Rivers had an unbelievable career, maybe a Hall of Fame career, and never won a Super Bowl and probably won't, right? So – and Eli has too. So, you know, I have no issue. John Elway did it. Eli Manning did it. I had no issue if Joe Burrow decides he does not want to go to Cincinnati. I think I'm all for that. Again, this is the only time. There's not another job out there, other than, of course, in sports, like basketball or whatever, that you graduate or you leave college, you leave high school, and you have no choice as to what city business that you work for. But that's the deal in the NFL. And I think Joe Burrow trying to have whatever leverage he has is basically – I think he can try to, you know, basically be cool enough and then cold enough to the organization to, you know, to maybe they'll trade the pick, maybe they'll draft Tua, maybe they'll draft the defensive end from Ohio State. But if I were him, I would much rather prefer to play for some of these other franchises.
Sage, can't thank you enough, friend. All the best. Hopefully, we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Sage Rosenfels. Find him on Twitter at Sage Rosenfels 18. Quarterback Collective, Score North, 670 The Score. All the people in Cleveland, by the way, I'm getting texts during that interview. He likes Kevin Stefanski. It's another thumbs up. There you go. I want to get into Sage's answer coming up at 1:40 p.m. Eastern. Up next, just hear me out because you're going to be upset when you hear this. Rob Manfred does have one good idea. There is one. I tell you what that is. Next, it's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.